chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So in English, I gave you a little Greek on your sheet, so we're going to head there in a minute. But in English, we have if-then statements, right? If you study, then you will do well on the exam. If you work hard and are faithful, then you will have a good marriage. Wait. Many of us have worked hard and have been faithful, and our marriages have failed. In English, we don't have a way to explain the meaning of the if-then without adding words. We have to add words like will probably or a better chance, right? If you work hard and are faithful, there is a better chance that your marriage will be healthy or something like that. But in Koine Greek, which is the kind of Greek, the language that our gospel today, our Gospel of John, was originally written in, the writer can just use different endings of words to tell us the meaning of the if-then. And there are six different types of meanings, actually. So we have to pay close attention every time we get an if-then in Scripture. And sometimes they're just straightforward, but we have to study it and discern it. And so the very first sentence that we get today is, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So because of the endings and the way that the sentence is formatted, what he really means is, if you love me and you do love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus is not actually wondering if they love him. Actually, in English, in this case, not in all cases in Greek, but in this case, in English, we can replace the word if with the word since. Okay? So that means Jesus is saying, since you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, and also, let's just say, this is actually since y'all, it's a plural, since y'all love me, Southern Greek, right? Since y'all love me, you will keep my commandments. And actually, he's saying, since you agapete me, which is, I put on your sheet. Maybe we can look there. I don't have a whiteboard, and I can't teach it this way. So agapete is, I put the sentence that we're working with at the very top, and then in English. And then agapate is it is the, without the verb ending, it's agapao, and the noun would be agape. Have you heard that word before? Agape love. So Jesus says, since y'all agape me. Now, you've probably heard that word before, and if you know anything about agape love, you know that in English we have this one word, love, but in other languages we get so many other types of love. So you would never agape pizza, even if you really like pizza. You do not have agape love for pizza. Agape love is bigger than you or I could ever love. It is wider and deeper than you or I could ever love. It is longer and it is stronger than you or I could ever love. It is unconditional, it has no limits, and it endures even if you try to kill it by nailing it to a cross. So then why would Jesus tell us that since we agape him, we will keep his commandments? Because if we can't actually possess or hold or give that kind of love, how can Jesus say, use that word for us, say that we agapao him? He can agape. So how can he say that we can? Because we belong to God. Because we are joined to Christ. Because the Spirit's ability to agape resides in us. So this first sentence of our text today is theologically so rich. It says, since you love me with a love that is only possible because of your life in God, you will keep my commandments. So what are Jesus' commandments? Now, Jesus is a Jewish rabbi. He told us that he did not come to abolish the law, that all of those laws, they actually stand. The rules that we were given, the guidance about murder and family and marriage and trust and lying and worship and rest and jealousy, those all just stand as firmly as ever. But they all hang on Jesus' two commandments. Love God with your whole heart, your mind, your strength, and your soul. Everything you are and everything you have, use it to love the Lord. And then he says, my other commandment is just like the first one. Love your neighbor. So for God, loving God and loving your neighbor are the same thing. So then we have to say that not loving your neighbor is the same thing as not loving God. Whew. So Jesus is saying, since you love me unconditionally, and I know you do because your life with God means you're capable of it, since you love me unconditionally, you will live a life where you unconditionally love with everything you have and are. You will love God and every other person. Well, that is a tall order, Jesus. And Jesus knows that this is a tall order. So he says he will ask the Father, and the Father will give you. That's a regular old future tense verb in Greek. The Father will give you an advocate. In English, we have an advocate. And you know we have to stop here, and I put it on your page too. Parakleton. So that's the second one here, near the bottom area. So I put the whole sentence in Greek in case you want to read that. And then in English. And then parakleton is the Greek word that John used that we translate as advocate. And it actually seems to be a bit of a made-up word because John is the only one who uses it. It is, para means beside, and kalete is, well, is the verb that means to call out, to call after. So when you put these together, you get the beside caller. You get, have you ever heard the word paraclete? The Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as the paraclete because when you transliterate parakalete, it looks like paraclete. So we call the Holy Spirit the paraclete. But sometimes people translate it as the encourager because we have to imagine what a beside caller is. What's a beside talker? Because the sense of this combination word is one who walks along with you, talking to you and calling out to you. And if that beside caller is from God, then the talking will be holy, and it will be encouraging, and it will be lifting up God's will for your life and every other neighbor's life. Well, good, Jesus, because we're going to need that beside caller, that holy encourager, that advocate. We are going to need the Spirit, because agape love is bigger than we are. Loving God and neighbor with everything that we have and are, it's beyond our own strength. And that makes me think of Martin Luther's explanation of the third part of the Apostles' Creed. We have, I believe in God the Father, we have, I believe in God the Son, and then we have the third portion of the Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's the third article of the Apostles' Creed, and this is what Luther has to say that that means. I'm reminded that my daddy, as he ages, doesn't remember everything, but he remembers this whole explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, and maybe you had to memorize it too, and maybe you own it still today. Luther says that the Holy Spirit coming to us means this: I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me through the gospel, enlightened me by his gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in the true faith. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. I need the Spirit. I need the Holy Encourager. I need the beside caller. And because I'm captive to sin and I cannot free myself, I am quite certain that I will need this Holy Encourager a lot. Which is why Jesus says that this beside caller will minnow with us, will remain, will live in, will reside, will persist. And of course we know that Jesus is the only one that can promise that anything will persist and remain forever. And he does. This paraclete, this encourager, will abide and make its home in us with zero conditions on the relationship. Not if we keep the commandments, not if we measure up, not if we make enough confession. The Spirit is simply promised to us, period, and forever. Thanks be to God.